Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and I have Carol Q on the line with me, a native Bronxite who abandoned me and left and went to Atlanta. But it's okay. I'm still going to interview you, and we'll talk about some of the great things you're doing out there in ATL. So say hello to the family. You know, let us know what's going on.
Yes, greetings to your readers and your audience. Thank you for having me this evening.
You're more than welcome.
I'm Carol Q. I'm a seasoned record industry, I've been in the industry for a while. So I would say, I started out with Whitney Houston back in 1986. I was a kid and I was wide-eyed and open. I worked at Arista Records and went to FIT at night. And I just knew that this is what I wanted to do. From the Jacksons, I knew I wanted to be in the record industry. And from there, I just took the bull by the horns and got a real good gig working at Arista, where Whitney Houston, Carly Simon, Houdini, there were a lot of those people on the label. And I just knew that that's where I wanted to be, you know? Mm. So seasoned industry pro right here.
What was it like, since you've been in the game so long, being a female in the male-dominant record industry? How did you fit in and how did you make your mark?
Well, it's funny. I always had that drive to be in the industry. I'm a drummer. I played drums as a kid. And I used to take different songs, rip apart the tracks. Mm-hmm. Then my parents bought me a drum set and I went from there. And I played drums, I listened to music, and I worked in the record industry. It was fun. It was games. People never really saw what I did as a job, because while they were on the subway going to Wall Street or on the East Side, I was going on the West Side where all the record labels was, and it was like a party every day. Being a female in the industry, it was interesting because, of course, you know, men.
Right.
They want to, you know, get next to you and all of that. But I was really young coming up in it, so I tried to ignore it. But I went from being like an intern to a temp to an executive assistant to a publicist to doing promotion. I just worked my ranks. Right. You know, it wasn't about, you know, who could get me here, there, and everywhere in the industry. It was just a pattern that kind of flowed. And every year, like around this time, say early January, back in the days, the record label gigs would open up. People would go from, like, say, Elektra Records to Warner Brothers, right, or from Def Jam to Atlantic. So there were always gigs that opened up. So you always had, you know, your ear to the streets, and you knew what was going on, and you just, you know, pretty much hustled your way through. And I look back now and I'm like, yo, I did that. And I did it in a clean way. I have no reputation of being a thot or a third bucket. They didn't call it that back then, but that's what it is now. Very proud of myself.
Facts.
Definitely.
High five on that. Likewise, can't nobody say I was with Nigeria, because that there be a lie.
I'm telling you.
So what do you think about the industry now and the dynamics, the change? Because you're still doing a little PR and you have your radio show and you're still rocking and rolling. So kudos to you. But what do you think about the business now?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, and I could be totally wrong, but from my perspective, there is no industry.
Mm.
There is no industry. Everybody's an artist. Everybody gets on Spotify and puts their own music out. I come from the labels.
Right.
Okay. I never wanted to deal with like talent shows and amateurs, excuse the people that are.
Uh-huh.
That was just my preference. I wanted to go to work every day and know that Busta Rhymes was coming through the door, or Jodeci was coming through the door, or Def Leppard was coming through the door.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
My days in the industry was like, yo, a who's who of who's coming through the door.
Right.
And I've worked with everybody from Michael Jackson to Sting to Diddy, like everybody. So for me, the amateur, they didn't get through the door. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when they did, they were in the A&R departments and we didn't see them. They had nothing to do with us and they sat pretty much what they would say in the industry on the shelf for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So For me, there's no industry now because, again, everybody thinks they're an artist.
You ain't
everybody
never lie.
On their laptop, whether they can rap, whether they can sing, whatever, they, you know, toot their own horn. And truthfully, I don't like this new industry music. I don't like what it is. It has no substance.
Right.
5, 10, 15 years from now, who's going to be listening to this crap? No disrespect to the people doing it.
Right.
We talking about my preference, right?
Right, right.
When
That's
I
true.
Went to the labels were a who's who in the industry. Whether you were at Def Jam, whether you were at Polygram, whether you were at WEA, which was Warner Elektra Atlantic,
mm-hmm.
wherever you were, it had a roster of esteemed artists. A lot of the artists had a lot of issues, but yeah.
Yeah, but the labels had the process of development. And so that's what's not happening mm-hmm. now. Artists aren't polished. You know, they don't know. There was a whole, you know, the industry where we grew up in was a whole mm-hmm. thing. It was the whole Motown movement, you know, develop, practice, yeah. rehearsals, you know, doing stuff.
Yeah.
And like you said, now with social media and YouTube, everybody's a star. Everybody could just get on their computer, like you said, their laptop, and just do what they want to do. Now, granted, some are good yeah. and some are not.
Yes, yeah, but the ones that aren't think they are, and they mess it up for everybody else. Well, I'm just saying.
Facts.
You know,
facts.
I'm just saying.
Facts.
You know, I mean, like I said, I remember the days. I remember the days of, like, record bags, you know, and
right.
DJ pools and promotions. Days up at the radio stations, you know, the
right.
urban stations, the rock stations, the P1s, the P2s, you know, those were the days
right.
of the industry. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no more of that. And if there is, it's just certain artists that get that.
Right.
Certain artists, maybe like a Khaled, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Or who else? Beyonce.
Right, right.
You're... But for the masses, it's not there. Everybody's putting it out themselves, and it's pretty awful.
Well, not here. Not here. We are where key players speak, and we go through things through a fine tune. Not everybody is a key player. You know, we don't just hand those key player.
True.
We don't hand out these key player cards like that. You got to have
exactly.
some talent, skills, and abilities to be part of the team, you know. So,
yeah,
I thank you about that. But let's talk about the radio show, because now you have a radio show. So who are you playing if, you know, you don't like the new stuff?
Well, it's so funny. The Carol Q show is just that. It's about throwbacks.
Okay.
What I do is I play hip hop and R&B and, you know, some reggae dancehall from the 90s and the early 2000s.
Okay.
That's my era, and I'm sticking to it. So people have always said they love my voice. They love the way I speak. They love my inflection. Where am I from? Well, raised in the Bronx. So
right.
you got, like, Caribbean parents and Bronx. So my voice is a mixture. But, you know, it's like my show focuses on what I find near and dear to me. My time in the industry.
Right.
You know, the Uptown Records and, you know, all of those artists from that era, you know, whether it's In Vogue
yes,
or,
yeah.
like I said, maybe Mary J, you know, Father MC, whatever.
Right,
you know what I'm
right.
saying? Some artists that you don't hear today from Donnell Jones.
Right,
I mean,
wow.
I'm a Donnell Jones fan to this day.
Okay.
So you tune into Carol Q, you tune into my show, you're going to get all of that. And I also speak on, you know, different topics, whether it's sex, relationships, or lack thereof for some people.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about, you know, things that are pertinent and things that people will go through. Like, some women don't like the way their body looks. So
right.
I talk about plastic surgery and, you know, anything of that nature. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the people who love that era, the grown and sexy people, will love my show, Carol Q. The Carol Q Show. It is on Blaze One Radio, and it's also on Precious FM. Precious FM. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
That's what's up.
Yep.
And how can they reach you?
Everybody can reach me through my socials, which is Carol Q Radio. And I'm going to spell Carol out because people think it's O-L.
Right, go ahead.
So it's Carol, C-A-R-Y-L, instead of a O, C-A-R-Y-L, Q, and then radio, R-A-D-I-O. And you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, I have a Facebook fan page, and on Twitter. And I welcome people to come in and, you know, check me out. I always have a lot of content on my pages. And, you know, I try to keep it light. Try to keep it cute. But I try to keep it light. And, you know, everybody, you know, just come on board and check me out, you know?
So what's going on with the music in ATL? I don't even know who's out there.
When I first moved down to Atlanta, I worked with Akon.
Oh, okay.
And the studio compound. I did that for a while. Mm-hmm. But I realized that when I did, it was different than being up in New York or in L.A.
Oh, okay.
They were very close-fisted. Mm-hmm. They stuck to themselves. So they would have their auntie and their grandmother and, you know, their cousin from this, that, and the third. That's what made up the labels down here.
Oh.
And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing if that's what you want to do. But they were mesmerized by me because I, quote unquote, really worked in the industry. And I'm like, well, aren't you in the industry? But they're like, you really were in the industry.
Right.
You know, and they would pick my brain about this, that, and the third. But as far as music down here, I don't really mess with it. Because, again, it's that new breed. Now, if we were still talking about TLC, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If we were still talking about Usher, you know, those groups that came out, Ludacris. That's different. But the trap music and stuff, I don't really understand that. And I kind of leave that to the folks who do.
Right, right. Is that all they're playing down there?
I mean, let's face it. This is COVID. I don't know how evergreen you want to have your show, but we're in COVID times. So there's nowhere to really go.
Right.
Everything is closed down. And if it's not closed down, it's very, very limited.
Right.
You know, you get food. You know, if you're going to go to a speakeasy, it's, you know, you got masks on, you can't meet people, you can't socialize. So I'm blessed to have a decent home, a nice home, a warm home. I have a Yorkie and I have everything, you know, that I want at home. So I don't really go out there.
Right.
I don't really think that it's worth it.
Facts.
You know, to try and check out this fan and that fan and whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to do anything with them anyway.
Right.
Well, when I'm home, I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to and watch what I want to watch.
Right, right.
You know, but it's sad because it feels like 2020 was a waste as far as, you know, trying to figure out new things and new directives. But it also gave us the opportunity to be able to think.
Right.
Think about what we had versus what we lost and how we're going to get it back. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And any other creative juices flowing through you? Because you got the radio show. You're still helping out a few artists. Is there a book or anything, a movie? Or
It's so funny because everybody has said, you need to write a book.
Facts. You do.
You need to write a book.
That's why I'm like.
You need to write a book. I think I might do that. You know, I just got a new iMac. I just might do that. I might, you know, pick and pluck some thoughts. Put them down and see where it goes from there. Because like I said, I worked in the industry from Whitney Houston era, literally up until I would say the beginning of the year when I worked with an artist named Merrill out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started doing things on my own. I will do a project, but if you know, if the client doesn't have a budget, miss me with that.
Right.
Because I've got tons of skills, a ton of contacts, and I'm well-liked.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's another thing. You know, you got to be well-liked.
You ain't never lie.
You know?
Never lie. Yeah.
Because if you're not, you know what I'm saying? They're going to play you. You're going to get played. You're going to get trampled on. You're going to have a reputation that you don't really want to follow you. So,
right.
My thing is, if you want the top, you've got to pay for it.
Right.
You know, and that's not a diss to the poor guy that's, you know, working, you know, maybe at UPS or Amazon or something like that.
Right.
And has dreams and goals. But there's levels.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't just look at the industry as this one big blob. There's levels to it.
Right.
You know, and you got to go through the trenches because I went through the trenches.
Right.
You know, like I said, I was a kid. You know, I went to FIT at night.
Right.
In New York, Fashion Institute
right.
for Communications, and, you know, just wheedled my way through Columbia Records and Sony Music and, like I said, Def Jam, every label I've worked at, yeah. every label I've gotten that experience
right.
of at least a year and a half, you know, so when I look back and I say, well, dang, I wish I was still doing that. Ooh, the last job that I worked at before I came down to Atlanta was at MTV Network, VH1. So
okay.
my experience is vast.
Right.
When I look back and I say, wow, I really did that, and I smile, I'm good when I just put everything into my radio show.
Right.
Because that's right. the era. I'm telling you, the 90s and the early 2000s was bumping.
Of
you
course.
Know, and the music was so dope.
Right.
And that's what people want to hear. They really want to hear that. You know, and there's a market for it.
Yeah.
So I plan on expounding on my radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can give the time, I'm on Blaze One Radio at 8 o'clock on Sundays and Tuesdays, Tuesday evenings. And I'm on Freshest FM on Mondays and Saturdays. Mondays I'm on at 7, and Saturdays I'm on midday at 3.
Okay. Yeah,
mid-afternoon,
of course. You got to tell them when you're on and what days you're on so they can tune in and listen.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Oh, so definitely. Yes,
so
yes.
So do you watch the Atlanta Housewives or any of those Atlanta hip-hop shows?
Well, I watch Atlanta Housewives just to laugh.
Okay.
And I tell people, because people are coming down to Atlanta in droves,
uh-huh.
but I tell folks, don't think that you're going to come to Atlanta and live like that.
Okay.
It's here for some. I'm not going to front.
Right.
But for the most part, if you want to see what Atlanta is like, don't look at the cast. Look at the people that are behind them. That's Atlanta.
Okay.
And that's a big deal.
Right.
Don't look at NeNe. Don't look at Cynthia. Don't look at, you know, whoever.
Right.
Look at the people in the background. Look at the people that are scuffling around behind them in the restaurants and, you know, the different pageants and things that they have or fashion shows. Look at those folks. Because that's Atlanta. Everything else is all fabricated. If you look at NeNe, look at her kitchen counter. There's nothing on there. And I tell people all the time, don't get caught up in what you think Atlanta is. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
They'll give you a fly car and you don't have anywhere to live down here. And the next month, snatch it away from you. You got to be smart and do your research.
Right, right. But that's everything. That's like L.A. People run to L.A. They want to be a star. People run to New York. They want to be a star. And now all the black people run into it. Yeah, everybody run into Atlanta to be a star. And, you know, right now in this pandemic, you're not serving. You're not a star. Okay, let me just tell you that.
Exactly.
Because there's exactly. no celebrity status at this time. Just be forewarned, unless you're doing something, you know, to assist. I mean, people are dying. Ain't nobody got time to be like, you know, ooh, you know, people trying to hold on. But I'm
exactly.
thankful that, you know, there's outlets like yourself who are still contributing to the industry, and we need that. I'm so thankful for our connection that people have to have a place to go, you know, come to Urban Buzz Mag
mm-hmm.
and read up on what's going on. You're always going to be informed. You're always going to get a good interview. People want to know where I can listen to some good music and, you know, go to Carol Q, get your groove
yep,
on.
Yeah, the Carol Q Show.
That's
yes.
right.
And you know, because, again, it was a good time. I'm not saying that everybody that went through that era had good times. I mean, bad times follow different people at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, as an industry, you know, it was fun.
It was
Now,
fun.
There were some terrible things that happened, right?
Right?
We talk about, was it Trouble T-Roy with Heavy D and the Boys?
Right.
And
Right.
You know, there was a lot of tragedy, too, but the era was different.
Right.
You know, I always talk about the round the way girl. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was a round the way girl that had a flair for fashion. And I'm like, what happened to that? You
right.
know, now everybody's got plastic surgery, fake boobs, fake butt, you know, and then the younger kids coming up, they aspire to that.
Right.
And that's not real. That's fake.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So what we had was dopeness.
Facts.
And if you came from New York like we did, or, you know, I lived in Jamaica for 12 years on and off. Let me tell you, those were the best years of my life. Being a New York girl, living in Jamaica, doing my thing.
Right.
And my show reflects that. It mm-hmm. reflects that 400. You know, my fiance and I, we had a show that we did just 2 weeks ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, like, the whole show was dedicated to 90s dance hall, 90s and early 2000s dance hall.
Oh, my goodness.
So I like to flip it and throw right. it in. And you know what I'm saying? You
and,
know,
and that's a
that
genre.
You like dancehall?
Yeah, I was mm-hmm. just getting ready to say, that's a genre you don't even hear anymore. You don't hear dancehall. You don't.
Let
I mean, they used to have
you.
The reggae lounge. They used to have places you could go. Now it's like, what happened?
I'm telling you, I worked with Shaba. I worked with Patra, Cabra, Bounty Killer, Merciless, all of those artists in the 90s and the early 2000s. Then I left, Diana King too, can't forget she. And I left Jamaica, came back and worked at Columbia Records. So like I said, my whole thing was just a flow.
Right.
It was just a flow. And it was dope, dope time with dope, dope artists that were current at that time.
Right.
I'm telling you, it was amazing. It was truly amazing. But I'm going to get that reggae dancehall one to you. We just did that.
Yeah.
You're going to like
yeah,
it. You like
definitely,
dancehall,
yeah.
Hit, you're going
to
like
send
it.
Send that to me. Send that to me.
Yes, definitely.
All right, then. So give them your social tags again. We right here.
Definitely. Definitely. My socials are Carol Q Radio, Caryl Q Radio, Radio, and it's one word. And you can find me on TikTok, find me on Instagram, on my Facebook fan page, and Twitter. And like I always say, come on, people, let's get it. Let's go. Boom. That's my tagline, and I'm sticking to it.
That's what's up. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So you know we're here for you.
Definitely, definitely. Again, Nigeria, thank you so much for having me. I love what you do.
Thank you.
You know, I always support you.
Yes, you do.
Whether it's, you know, yeah, I try to always do that. So, like I said, whether it's on Facebook or it's on Instagram, you know, I got you.
Facts. And see, this is what we need. See, now you're going to make me preach, but this is what we need.
Preach on, girl.
Those of us preach. Who've been in this industry.
You know, Pastor
industry,
Donnie McClurkin is my pastor.
We have been in this industry. We have seen the ups and downs. I am blessed to be mm-hmm. connected with you, to know and how we support each other.
And I want to come back up to New York just, you know, to visit, to kind of shop. But I hear New York's not like how it used to be. So,
yeah. Okay,
come down here to Atlanta. Let's get together.
Facts.
You know, when COVID is, you know, a thing of the past,
right.
a distant memory, let's hang out. Let's do something. You know, my door is always open to you, girl.
Likewise, likewise. Since day one.
Yeah, for real, for real. And yeah, you know, check out my fiance, DJ Tony Spark.
Okay,
you
I
know,
will.
But he'll give all of that info. Yeah, he'll give all of that info on the music that I'm going to send you right now.
All right,
on the
cool.
mixtape.
All right, cool.
All right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Sweetheart. Okay, have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.